One more point concerning what we discussed last night, and that is the concept of Chilas Simonim. So, again, there was a concept of Tfilah, that's one set of understanding how to understand the Chilas Simonim, that one is misspelled by these Achilas. And a separate concept, when the year starts off, you can sort of activate Gzeiris at the beginning of the year by initiating that type of concept. If something is, someone is supposed to have a good year, he can begin that Gzeira, and on the day of beginning that Gzeira, he sort of can lock it in. Using that paradigm, we can explain a few other halachas here. Primarily, the Rama himself continues by saying, "V'noigin lechel basar shamein v'chol mina mesika." The minig is in Rosh Hashanah, one should eat basar shamein, real, you know, gishmaka meat, other foods, mina mesika, all sorts of good food, delicacies, things that are good to eat, things that are enjoyable. Now, on the one hand, you know, there's a point not to get carried away. It's Rosh Hashanah, Tziyei Madin. We know that Maril says that he picked one food that he liked, he felt was a very big thing by him, and he didn't eat that food in Rosh Hashanah because he didn't want to get too carried away. But the main thing that Rama says is one should have. The proper mahalach is one should have all sorts of sweet and good foods. Now, we're not that, you know, you sit down to your main course and you have this, you know, really great main course, you're not going to say a tefillah on every food you eat. We don't do that. So the concept of the Rama would be understood along the second concept which he mentioned, and that is that by starting off with kishmaka food, starting off in an enjoyable manner, again, one's trying to activate everything good, start day one on the right foot, and the whole year should carry forth along those lines. The same concept, though, holds true on the negative elements as well. If one would somehow have very negative experiences in Rosh Hashanah, one could make the same argument, that there's a potential Gzeira L'ra in Shemayim on this person, and by beginning to experience the Ra, one could potentially lock in that Gzeira L'ra and sort of bring it down in this world and activate it. To that effect, the Ramos, the Mishabura says, L'chein pshita shi'ezoher me'oid shlayichayis b'yam me'elu. It is extremely simple that one should do all he can to avoid getting angry during these days, the entire series of Meitshuva, and Befrat on Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? So he says, Mavad Goyd L'Isr, beyond, we know that Kas is a terrible, terrible thing. First of all, it's Usr. Straight up, it's Usr. Aside from any ramifications. Beyond that, we know that Kas has terrible ramifications. We know that Kas destroys people, as far as, you know, just for themselves, destroys the person, and destroys the surroundings as well. But beyond all that, beyond immediate ramifications, the effects it can have down the year, the same way we're trying to, again, kick off a year of good, the reverse effect can be true as well, and therefore one should go as far as he possibly can to avoid finding himself in a massive of kas. Now, on a separate note, there's another thing that's brought down in Rosh Hashanah, and that is the Rama says that it is customary that one does not go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. It's brought down by the Zayar, and the same Zayar says that, however, after Chatzais is leichter, people do go to sleep after Rosh Hashanah. What is the reason for this? Why don't people go to sleep? Or why is it customary not to go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah? Shabrubin quotes the Zayar as saying that somebody who sleeps, so to speak, his mazel, his malach, so to speak, is sleeping as well. Now, it means somehow to invoke, there's a kaychas and shemayim that work on behalf of a person, and if a person's not active, they won't be active. But beyond the more esoteric concepts, in a simple, more exoteric concept, very simple and down here, a person's in court. He's being judged. Now, without getting into Rishonah and Chaim and Mavis, if a guy's in court for a traffic ticket, if a guy's in court for something more serious, and we know from our personal experience, you're not going to fall asleep in court. You're not going to show up late to court. If you're being judged, you take it half seriously, so then the first thing you do is to show up. The next thing you do is to make sure that when you're there, you're paying attention. If the judge is watching you and he sees you're sleeping, you're going to be in trouble. So the idea is that you shouldn't go ahead with a blatant act of disregard for the whole din is setting yourself in bad shape. Therefore, the Zayar can be understood that after Chatzos, the main din has already taken place. You've already been through the majority of the din. At that point, it's not such a bold statement to go ahead and go to sleep. Along these lines, I saw both from Shmuel Kamenetsky and from Zalman Orbach, two other nafkaminas. One is if a person wakes up in the morning, now we normally wake up, we're not up at the crack of dawn. We sleep for a bit into the course of the day. So one could argue, no, we're sleeping. We're sleeping, it's already daytime, the din has started. Yet, by the same argument, as we were saying before, no one has gone to sleep in the beginning of the day. They're sleeping because they were asleep the whole night. So there's no act here of showing, I don't care about Rosh Hashanah, I don't care about the din. I'm sleeping because I'm sleeping. When I wake up, I will go immediately to shul, and I should go early, and I should go on time, I should be punctual, that's definitely true. But sleeping because of your natural course of sleep wouldn't be a problem according to this. And as well, let's say somebody actually fell, you know, in the middle of the shul, somebody sitting there, and he falls asleep. He fell asleep. He didn't deliberately go to sleep. He didn't mean to go to sleep. He fell asleep. It happens. Right? There'd be no problem. You know, you certainly wouldn't have to wake him up. If he's sitting there, again, he would miss out part of davening, which, you know, chaval, he'd miss it out. There'd be a loss, you know, he'd have to be on hold till next year. But, on the other hand, as far as halacha is concerned, the primary isser is only to go ahead and show disregard clearly. Anything short of that is not a problem. And one last thing here, the place can speak out, is that yoshev batal kiyoshen dummy. Somebody who sits the whole Rosh Hashanah and says, hey, I can't go to sleep. I'm not supposed to go to sleep. The Zayar says not to go to sleep. And instead he sits the whole Rosh Hashanah afternoon schmoozing or doing other activities that are completely unrelated to Rosh Hashanah and show disregard for the day. They say the halacha is yashiv batal. Someone who's sitting doing nothing is kiyash dami. He has halachic status as somebody who's sleeping. But forget the halachic term. The concept is the same. If you're showing disregard, it doesn't matter how you're doing it. You can do it by going to sleep. You can do it by, you know, getting involved in a baseball game on Rosh Hashanah. The same concept. The concept is there's a court case going on. You're the one on trial. The court's watching you, and you're showing you don't give a hoot. That is a serious problem. So again, the basic idea is be gainfully occupied over Rosh Hashanah to show some sort of concern.